Good morning, church. I'm just going to repeat what Reverend Talley already said. There's a little bit more energy, and that's what it feels like to worship at 10:30 in the morning. Again, just saying, you know. I felt good this morning, and I was up to like 1:30, so. We are continuing in our series, Interrupting Silence, and today I want to talk about the idea of the voice. And in thinking about the sermon series, Interrupting Silence, the thought came to me that many times when we experience silence in our lives, it's because we're unsure, uncertain. I don't know about you, but, you know, well, I'm kind of a man of few words anyway. If you've ever been in a meeting with me, I just kind of sit back and listen and take it all in. But there are moments in my life when, you know, during those meetings, I'm thinking things, right? But there are times in my life when I'm truly silent, not only in expression, but in thought, because I'm unsure, I'm tentative, I'm maybe even confused. And it's in those times that I seek to hear a voice. And it's in those times I think we need to hear a voice breaking through that silence, especially as people of faith. When we're in occasions, when we're in times when we feel silent in spirit because we're longing for that voice, we really need to hear a voice breaking through that. I'd like to suggest that we need Jesus' voice as people of faith to break through the silence of uncertainty, tentativeness, and confusion. And it's when we can hear Jesus that we can even then break through the silence of our actions and our words in this world, especially in the silence in the face of injustice in our world today. In the passage that we're going to read, there are several things that I'd like to for us to think about. It's just a kind of a short section of chapter 10 in John's Gospel, and it's kind of a longer passage, and it's a section when Jesus talks about him being the good shepherd. And we've heard that Jesus sometimes referred to as the good shepherd. And in this passage, I want us to think about the need to recognize Jesus' voice. I also want us to think about Jesus' vision for the church. And then I want to think about what the work ahead is like for us as the church. So let's read John chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. And you can just listen along or follow along in your pew Bible if you wish, or on your phone. It reads like this, yes, on your phone. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The word of the Lord. Verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. How do Jesus' own know him? How does Jesus' flock know him? In the beginning of the part of the chapter 10 that we didn't read, using the same sheep metaphor, Jesus says that his sheep know his voice. And that's how Jesus can claim that his own know him. If he is the shepherd and we are his flock, we would know his voice. I had a friend in seminary who did a little bit of sheep farming, and he would say that he just came out and said, sheep are dumb, but they know one thing. They know the voice of the shepherd. And so when Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me, he is getting into that. He's zeroing in on that reality, that while his sheep may not know a whole lot, they know one thing, and that's his voice. The question is, how do his people, we, recognize Jesus' voice, right? How do we, his people, recognize Jesus' voice? Because here's the thing. There are a lot of people, including me, that say that we recognize Jesus' voice, that we recognize Jesus. But how can we claim that we hear Jesus' voice so clearly when it seems like in this world and today that what we claim seems to be so different from what other people of his flock claim? So how do we know Jesus' voice today? That's the question. And I wonder if we are more prone to speak for Jesus rather than listen for Jesus. We claim a lot in life, right? As a church, we feel like we are in this moral high standing place, that we have a soapbox on which we can claim things in the name of Jesus without listening for his voice first. Are we more prone to speak for Jesus rather than listen for Jesus? The challenge, the rub, is in listening for Jesus. And that is related to our ability to recognize Jesus' voice. One of my guilty pleasures, well, it's not my actual guilty pleasure because I don't feel guilty about it. I like watching the TV show The Voice. Yeah, right? I don't know if I'm trying to live vicariously through these amateurs, right, that can sing like professionals. But if you know, how many of you know that show? Do y'all watch it too? Okay, so this show, it's a singing competition. Basically, it's a singing competition that begins with this thing called the blind auditions, during which four professional singers they have their backs turned to the auditioners, right? Those who are auditioning. And the amateurs sing while the judges have their backs turned to them. And the idea is that they are listening for the voice, right? The voice that will win the competition without all the other distractions of looks, of ability to dance or entertain or charisma or whatever. They're just listening for the voice. I think we too need to listen for the voice, Jesus' voice, the voice that rises above all others. But the only way we will be able to listen and recognize that voice is when we are tuned in to hear it. The judges on the TV show are listening for the voice that they think will win the competition. And it's because of their training as professional singers that they can listen for the nuance, the quality, the uniqueness of the voice, right? And they can feel it and they can know it. Once they hear it, they know. And then they slam the red button and their backs turn. And sometimes they're surprised by the look of the person, who the person is. It's all unexpected. But they are listening for the voice because that's what's important, right? We too must train our ears to listen for Jesus' voice among all the voices competing for our attention. And we can train our ears to listen for Jesus' voice in the way we study scripture, in the way we live in community, because I really do believe that we hear Jesus' voice in community and in our teachability. And that's another nicer way of saying our ability to be flexible and to risk and to really truly hear Jesus' voice, not insert our own voice into that. This may seem impossible. I know that there are times in my life when it feels impossible to recognize Jesus' voice. But I think there's something in us that predisposes us to recognize Jesus' voice. One way to think about it is that we are, as we claim, created by God. We often use the language of children of God, right, to talk about ourselves. He says it himself, my own know me. They know my voice. We are children of God. And if we are children of God, we will recognize the voice of God. Kind of to flip things around a little bit, one of the things I discovered in being a dad is that there is something built in us that is created and knit in us, in me, to be on high alert when I hear Aaron's voice, right? I once heard it said that human ears are tuned to paying attention to kids' cries, that there's something about the kids' cries that alerts us and that makes us kind of pay attention. When I first heard the series title, Interrupting Silence, my mind immediately went to my sleep deprivation, because I don't know about the other parents in here, but when I had Aaron, I learned and I discovered the hard way that my ears are tuned to a kid's cry. I could be deep in sleep, and the minute he makes a little peep, I wake up. I jerk and wake up, and I can't go back to sleep sometimes. Because my ears are tuned to the cries of my son. In the same way, I think as children of God, not only does God as parent hear our cries, but we as children should recognize and are tuned and made and created to recognize the voice of God in our lives. There's something in us that predisposes us to listening for Jesus. And we may not always think of that in those terms, but think about the longing in life. What are we listening for? I think we're listening for the one who created us. Think about the hardships in life, and we say, can we just hear something? We're already, no matter where we are in faith or no faith, there's something in us that wants to listen for a voice other than ours. And I think it's something in our human spirit that longs for the God spirit in our lives. We are predisposed. So take heart. Once we do the hard work of tuning our ears and paying attention, we will recognize Jesus' voice. Second thing I want to talk about is this idea that Jesus casts a vision for the church. Not only do we have to listen, but Jesus also wants to listen with a purpose. Verse 16, it says this, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Let me just stop right there for a sec. I don't know about you, but I never paid attention to this one verse where it says, I have other sheep. What? He goes on, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. What other sheep are there? I'm trying to figure that out, right? What other sheep are there? I'm not even sure I ever noticed this part of the passage or paid attention to it in this verse. Jesus speaks about other sheep who do not belong to this fold. And while he doesn't immediately identify these other sheep, one of the ways we can think about these other sheep is to think about those folks who often are forgotten, or who we would not think as belonging to the fold. In other words, who are the other? If you don't know who the others are, don't look at the centers of society in power and position, but look at the margins. Those who have been othered aren't hanging around at the centers of places, but at the margins, because that's where they've been pushed and because that's where they can find others like them. And so when Jesus says that he must bring them also, he is being radical. If you just think about that one line, I must bring them also. Jesus is being radical. He's about to bring those others into the fold. He's not only just saying that they're others, but he's also claiming those. And he's trying to bring them to the center. He is, in other words, recentering the kingdom of God to include those on the margins. But Jesus goes further, because in this one verse, I think Jesus is laying out a vision for our church, for the church and our church. And he says it in this short phrase that, again, I failed to notice before. He says, so that there will be what? One flock and one shepherd. That's radical. Because in our day, we think of divided flocks. We think of, yeah, we got our thing and you got your thing and we'll just agree to be different like that. Failing to recognize that there is actually just one flock, that Jesus is bringing all people to him and that there is one shepherd. Think about the implications of that and how we live out life as Lakeby. Think about the implications of that. I think because of the leadership of this church and the leaders in this church that we are on the right road in living out that vision of one flock to one shepherd. We are actually not just confined by the four walls of this building, the borders of this property, but we are out in the community. And I think that's part of living out this vision of one flock, because all people belong to God and one shepherd. But this is hard. This is hard. We all know that Jesus' words can be challenging, but I'm not sure that we often think of Jesus' word as causing division, right? But that's exactly what it did in our passage. It says it. I'm not saying it. The passage says it. The gospel say it. Verses 19 through 21. And again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him? And others were saying, these aren't the words of one who has a demon. How can a demon open the eyes of the blind? What causes that kind of division in the one flock? I think they had difficulty accepting not only Jesus' lordship, but also the vision of the one flock and one shepherd. Like, B, here's the danger for us, that while we are a church following after Jesus, saying that we want to make the gospel fully alive in our community, we will have moments in the life of our church when it feels like too much, too challenging, and too costly. You may think that the leaders are out of their minds, that they have maybe even demons in them. It can cause division and has caused division in churches. But we can acknowledge the challenges and we can accept the risks because we are listening for the good shepherd, the one who can open the eyes of the blind. That's the work that we are engaged in. To open the eyes of the blind, that the world may see that Christ is Lord, that the world may see that there is actually just one flock and Jesus is gathering all of them to him. It's hard work, though. We risk a lot. But today, we need the church to re-engage what it means to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Why? Let me just name a few reasons. The violence against the worshipers of the Tree of Life Synagogue. We need the voice of the one. The violence against the two shoppers in Louisville. We need the voice of the one who created us. The thousands that are seeking asylum and bringing attention to the growing insecurity of communities around our world. We need someone to break through that cacophony and bring a word. The fear-fueled reactionary move to militarize our southern border in the face of dangers that aren't really there. The anxiety felt by the marginalized as they await the results of our midterm elections. We need a voice in our world today. In the face of all this, don't let the enemy silence you into uncertainty or to drown out Jesus' voice. When it was Jesus' voice who spoke in the beginning and made all things come into being. That's what we read in the Gospel of John, right? No, you can't silence the Creator. A couple weeks ago, Tally spoke up and said this: people are breaking the silence because no one is listening. But I want to tell you that Jesus is right there screaming with them. If only we, the church, had ears to hear and listen. But the church, we need to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ in our world, because the world needs a voice from the Lord. One flock, one shepherd. That's what Jesus said. Now tune your ears and listen for the voice of the good shepherd. Let us pray.